Jennifer live here in Madison, but God uses them all over the city, encouraging churches. Sam speaks all over the world and teaches. He's got such a teacher's heart. And God brought Sam here for no other reason than I wanted a friend close by, and so he moved his whole family just for my sake. So that's why you're here, Sam. But it's great to have Sam come and speak to us, and so come on up, Sam. Sam's with YWAM also, but let me just pray. Father, what a rich morning. Man, it's just great, God, to have. This reminds us that you are a huge God. You are the God of the universe, of the world, and the God in some prairie. And we worship you, and we praise you, and we thank you when brothers and sisters come together in Christ by your Spirit and just enrich each other, just encourage each other, teach each other. And we are all praying here that your Holy Spirit will speak through Sam to our hearts, Lord. He has done his part this week, and now he gets to just rest in the delivery of this message, because he has worked and prayed, and now our part is to work. Open up our ears, open up our hearts, our minds, so that the things you're trying to speak into us, we will hear it, receive it, and let us chew on it this week. Persevere with it until we're different for the things you speak through, Sam. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. I'm going to be turning to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field with which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Then he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Who told you? Literally, this passage is so rich that I could possibly speak for 16 weeks, but I have 45 minutes. So let's see how we can distill this and look at it. If I were to give a title to this message, I would call it First Steps to intimacy with God, the first steps. You'll notice in Genesis chapter 3, first I'll just give a little background and then we'll get into some preaching. You notice here was Eve, and she was kind of isolated. The enemy of our soul strategically got her alone. And then started to put seeds of doubt. Now, we all have heard the story before. And brought in this question and took her away from the main aspect of the commandment. And said, has God really said this? And so she gets trapped by that temptation. And in verse 6 it says this. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took off its fruit and ate it. There are three parts to that. One is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The fruit was the embodiment of all these three. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You see, the lust of the flesh, it will degrade you and you become a slave to it. The lust of the eye, it will lure you and trap you. And the pride of life is the lust of the mind to take you to high places only to topple you. The lust of the mind is the desire for power, the desire to be like him, to be popular, to be powerful. You know, every one of us are tempted in all of these three areas, has millions of different expressions of these three areas. But you see, it's the enemy came with a temptation, and there is three elements to a temptation. Before I go to preach, I'll just... three elements to a temptation. Whenever a temptation itself is not sin, three elements. First, in the temptation, there is a tempter. Second, there is a lure. Third is a lust. If I would give an analogy of a fisherman, the tempter is like a fisherman who goes to fish, a fisherman. And the lure of what he uses is a worm in the water. It's a worm. And the fish is lured by this worm. And the lust is the desire of the fish to want it. And that's how you and I, there's always a tempter, there's a fisherman out there in front of you and me with a lure, with a worm in front of us. And there is a desire for wanting that worm. The issue here is this worm looks different to each one of us. It's not the same one size fits all. Each one of us have a worm that we desire, that we are lured. For each one, it's different. Every one of us is tempted. And the worm that you're looking at is the lure that the enemy tries to get to you so that you can bite off it and then be yielded to the temptation. You see, three words again, when we look at it, it's combined. That word is called sin. And if you look at it even closely, what that sin is, sin for many of us means murder, lies, adultery. Those are expressions of sin. But if you look into the word in Hebrew, there are three words that expresses the word sin. And all three of them are used in different places of the Bible. Number one, the first word is hata. Hata means to miss the mark. Hata means to miss the mark or fall short. How many of us have missed the mark? You know, we've just missed the mark. And that's sin, really, before God. He's given us this, and we fall short of it. Second is pesa, which means we're crossing the line. How many of us crossed the line? We've crossed the line. There are certain boundaries that we cannot cross. Another word for that is transgression, to transgress. There are certain properties out here in this city where you have a little sign. Transgressors will be prosecuted. That means this is the line, that's it. If you come beyond that, we might shoot you. You see, that's the line. Transgression, that is crossing the line. Pesach. And the third one is awang, which means to twist the truth or move the standard or deviate the standard or change the distance of the goalpost. And just simply say the truth, but with a little dial this way or that way, and you twist the truth. So, we miss the mark, we cross the line, and we twist the truth. Every single one of us have twisted the truth at one time or the other, which is partial truth, or white lies, or black lies. We've twisted the truth. Every single one of us here in this room. Every single one of us have crossed the line. Every single one of us have missed the mark. Every single one of us have fallen short of that standard. Every single one of us. So what happens is when you get into that place of sin, these three, missing the mark, crossing the line, and twisting the truth, this happens. Actually, I'd like to turn to another passage. You don't have to turn with me, but I'll read it anyways, properly. You find all three of these expressions of sin is found in one chapter. The rest of the places, it's either Hata, or it's either Pesa, or is it Awang. But in this one passage, all three of them exist, and that is in Psalm 51 with the psalmist, King David. Let's look at it. And here he says, I wish I could read the whole thing. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Blot out. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Transgressions, iniquity, and my sin. All three words. Hata, Pesa, and Awang. All three words. And each one of them have a different application. Blot out. Wash me and cleanse me. That is a place that you and I are constantly wanting. If there was any time that you and I would have in our own conversations and dialogue in our own mind, you'd say, God, I wish I'd never done that before. Oh God, I regret that decision. Oh God, I was so stupid to do this. And that's why we hear that scripture that says, my sin is ever before me. That is, oh God, if you would only blot it out. Oh God, if you only would wash me away so that I won't experience this shame. Oh God, if you only would cleanse me so that I could be pure and have the full spiritual authority, as it were. Is somebody listening to me? You know, each one of us have had conversations like that in your mind or in our mind. Oh God, blot this out. And now, it doesn't have to be what this guy went through. He went through two sins. One is adultery and second is murder. That's what he has gone through. And it took another guy to come and point it out to him to say, you turkey. I mean, for a year, he was okay. I mean, he let life go on. And there was Bathsheba with a child growing. And he had kind of, you know, had his heart so callous. So, with a wall that he had put. And within them, inside, he was deceived. He did not see. until a man came up to him and said, like it is. And many a times you and I will have people coming into our lives where they would say something to us, whether it is direct or indirect or a correction that happens, we may have a wall and we may not be open to that correction. And that's why we want to look at the tenderness of God's heart. When you see the tenderness, then we open our heart to that correction. And that's when we begin to say, oh God, blot this out. Oh God, wash me. Oh God, cleanse me. Those three aspects come in different phases or periods of time in your conversation with yourself. Amen. Amen. I haven't started preaching yet. I'm just giving a little background. Amen. Okay. Are you with me? So here's David in verse 11, which we sing songs about this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit or steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then what? This is the scripture verse that we don't pay attention much. And this is what it says. Then I will teach transgressors of your ways. Then I will teach. Now here he's saying, God, I blew it. Just cleanse me clean. Give me a new heart here. And then he says, oh God, cast me not from your presence. Now I'm getting ready to speak about first steps to intimacy. He says, cast me not from your presence. This is the guy who was so in love with God that he would even want to take his shirt off and dance before God and say to his wife, I will be yet more vile. I will be yet more undignified. He was so immersed. He was so ruined. He was passionate about God in his worship. This is the guy who had that relationship. And now this sin had kept him from the presence of God. Is somebody listening to me? And for him, even the throne did not matter to him. His reputation did not matter to him. He did not care about anything. All he wanted is the presence of God. He says, cast me not away from your presence, O God. Now, if you and I have to understand true repentance, the repentance is about restoring and getting reconnected to his presence. It is not about how you can have your reputation back or how you look good before people, which is all fringe benefits. Yes, God will restore all that. But the main core of that is to reconnect with the presence of God. Is somebody listening to me? It's about desiring the presence of God. Amen? Amen? All right. Let's keep going. Say, keep it going, Sam. You see, here what is happening is in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8, this is what happens here. Watch this. In Genesis 3, 8, which we read, let's read it again. It says, and they heard the sound of the Lord. Of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. Hid themselves from the presence of God. What had just happened? They both had just crossed the line. Are you with me? And now when the sound of God, this is not even the voice of God yet. They were hearing the sound of God. Now in Isaiah 66 verse 6, it talks about three kinds of sounds. Sound of the city, the noise of the city, sound from the temple, and the sound of the voice of God. Three different aspects of sound. And we can be alerted in our heart with the sound of God. Even before a revival comes or when the presence of God shows up, there is a rustling in the breeze. There is a rustling through the tree. You would see, you would know that the presence of God is about to come. You would hear the sound of God. You see. You know, there are two kinds of... There was a Native American, not me, a real Indian, Native Indian, from America, and living somewhere in Dakotas. He had a tremendous relationship with a stockbroker in New York, with a stock exchange, Wall Street guy, big guy. They were great friends, and one day, the stockbroker invited him to New York. He said, hey, come out of your basic nature life to the jungle. So he says, okay, I'll come. And he showed up. And one day in that spending time together, he says, come on, I want to show you the stock exchange where I work. So they were walking down. If you've been there, you'd notice the walkway is all concrete and stone. And so as he was walking, he said, shh, wait. And there are tons of people walking up and down during that time. Tons of people. He said, shh, wait. And they stopped. And there are people walking. And he said, did you hear that? He said, what? I didn't hear it. He says, wait. And he goes. There's a little shrub at the side. And he puts his hand there and picks out a cricket. He said, see, cricket, I heard the cricket. He says, how did you do? The sounds are so many here. How did he hear it? You must have a trained ear. He says, you too have a trained ear. So what do you mean? I could have never picked that up. He says, wait, I'll show you. And he took out some coins, some quarters, and he threw it on the pavement. And it just started to bounce. And people stopped and looked at the coins. I said, see, those guys heard the sound of money and they stopped. And they looked at that. What is your ears trained to hear? Which may drown the sound of God. Oh my gosh, that's a whole nother sermon in itself about sound of God. What is it that you and I, when there's a rumbling taking place in your church, when there is a sudden new season of seeking the Lord or something that happens, when that rumbling takes place, what sound do you want to hear? Do you want to hear the sound of God or do you want to hear the sound of whatever that pulls you away from the presence of God? Are you listening to me? Now, let's go from there and listen to this part of what Genesis 3:8 talks about. He says, and when they heard the sound of God, they hid themselves. It is so possible even in a small church like this, you could be hiding. It is so possible that when the worship is going on, we could go through the motions, but we are hiding from the presence of God. We don't want to enter into the presence of God. Yes, we sang, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. Of course, I can't sing. But, you know, we say we're not afraid, but we are really afraid to get into the presence of God. And there are some of us who are so lovesick, they say, oh, I long to be in the presence of God. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to linger in the presence of God. You know, that bothered me a lot before. I've been walking with the Lord for 38 years. And whenever I hear people say, you know, I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be longing to be in the presence of God. I said, Lord, I can't connect. How come they do this? And they were not faking it. They were telling truthfully from their heart about being longing into the presence of God. And so I did go all over the map. Whenever there was an awesome time, I would go. Yes, the presence of God, I would enjoy it. I would love it. But the moment I went into the parking lot, it would evaporate. And I would say, God, something's not sitting right here. Why is it that I don't have what they have? Why is it that I can't understand about entering into that presence of God like they do? Why is it that I can't even understand being a child of God for this long that I could not connect? Until recently, in May, I was in Pittsburgh. And I heard this man preach. Right through this message, I mean, it was all, okay, I've heard this before, and repackaged, recycled, and nothing that you haven't heard. But he said two sentences that caught my attention. And I chewed on it, and chewed on it, and chewed on it. And he said something like this. He says, one thing is to be in the presence of God, or longing to be in the presence of God. It's totally another thing to carry the presence of God. So that got me. I said, God, that's it. I'm wanting to come in and out of your presence. That's not going to work. I want to carry your presence of God. Now, here's the point. Now, God is a holy God. How can a holy God land on me with this filthy mind or this sickening heart that I have? How can he come and reside over a filthy mind of mine? Is somebody listening to me? And I'm saying, God, you're so holy. I want your presence. I want to carry your presence. But how could you come and reside in me? Because I have this filthiness in my heart. This filthy mind that I have. Is somebody listening to me? I said, God, I want you to become more attractive to the temptation and to the lure of the world, or the filth of the world. I want you to become more attractive, more real than this, oh God, so that I could choose you. Now listen to this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13, it says this, I'm paraphrasing, there is no temptation such that man cannot endure, because with every temptation, God makes a way of escape. In other words, it means this. At the point of temptation, first of all, there is no temptation you and I cannot handle because God does not permit that. Hello? Are you with me? By the basis of the scripture. I didn't write the scripture, so don't sue me. And the scripture says very clearly that there is no temptation such that man cannot endure. And temptation is not sin in itself. Remember? The tempter, he comes to tempt with a worm. And when we catch the bait, is somebody listening to me? That scripture is simply this. Listen to this very carefully. At the point of temptation, we have a choice to say yes to God and no to the temptation, or yes to the temptation and no to God. Simple. What is it that makes us choose this? It's not because, oh, I was weak and I just gave in to the moment. That is utter rubbish. We give in because we love this at that point more than God. We sin because we love sin more than God. Is somebody listening to me? We fall into sin, we yield to temptation because we love this more than God. Based on that, I started to pray for a week or two, maybe 3 weeks, I don't know how many times I prayed that same prayer per day. Saying, God, I want you to be more attractive than this. 5-6 times a day, sometimes more. And then one day, it went. I was so free. And I felt the presence of God. I remember one day I was in my basement and nobody was there. Jennifer had gone to work. My kids were no longer there to pastor. And I was there in the basement and I was singing a song that I can't sing to even keep the respect of my name, but I was singing a song. I was worshiping God. I was singing in the language that I know, the spiritual language and all of that. And I was also dancing away. I was so intoxicated with the presence of God. And I was so doing this. And then I went to Walmart. Because my wife has given me a to-do list. So I go to Walmart, minding my own business with this little cart. And then I come to this aisle and there's this lady looking at me and she cries. I said, "What did I do?" And she says, "No, it's not what you did. It's something in you that is making me feel. And she started to cry. And I said, "Yes, what is it?" And then this missionary instinct kicked in. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" Preempting everything. And then I prayed. I don't know where I pulled that from. I said, "Oh God," something like this. "Oh Lord, bless this precious lady, oh God. And let her find the things that she's lost." She said, "How did you know that I lost?" I said, "I don't know. But do you know when you carry the presence of God, you don't have to have a sandwich board, repent or perish. You just carry the presence of God wherever you are. And when the presence of God goes before you, in you, it just opens up the door. It opens up for people to respond to the kindness and the tenderness of God." Is somebody listening to me? It's not just coming to a bonfire like a church meeting. It's not coming to feel good in that warm fire, in that great worship time. It's about carrying the presence of God. God is interested in the grass fire. Amen. Amen. Is somebody listening to me? You see, carrying the presence of God. Very quickly, I got 15 minutes left. Are you with me? Amen? In Genesis 3:7, it says this: "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked." That word in Hebrew is comes from the word irom, naked. This is that nakedness before the fall. I'm after the fall. This is that nakedness that creates a shame. This is that nakedness that you want to withdraw. This is that nakedness that keeps you from coming into the light. That is why they sewed the fig leaves and covered themselves. That is why people in the church today hide that shame, that pain, that regret. And we cover ourselves. That's why we get offended. Church, come on, it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to grow up. And rather than hiding behind offenses, "I'm offended by this, I'm offended by that, I'm offended because this Indian villager came to speak." You know, we are offended with all kinds of little things. And then we miss the mark. That offense keeps us from getting to the fulfillment of reaching out to the ultimate. And we miss the mark. And because of that, we cross the line. How many of us have crossed the line in gossip? How many of us have crossed the line in envy? How many of us have crossed the line in jealousy? We've crossed the line and not shown Christian charity of this community. Is somebody listening to me? Say, "Sam, you can say the same thing, but kind of tone down a little bit." Well, I got passionate. Look at my heart. Because I believe God is coming with a tenderness to say, listen, I want to come in you so that you can carry my presence wherever you go. We have an intellectual understanding. Jesus is in my heart. We have an intellectual understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have an intellectual understanding of that, but we don't have a revelatory experience of carrying the presence of God. Amen. Do you love Jesus? Do you still love me? You see, this nakedness that we're talking about is the shame. This morning, that can change. This morning, that can change. Because this morning, God's presence is so abundant that He can blot out that shame and that regret. He can wash you and He can cleanse you so that you can come into the presence of God. You don't have to hide. Are you with me? You see, before the fall, that nakedness was translated as arumamam, which means that nakedness knew no evil. Knew no evil. In other words, what God is saying, I want you to come into a new level of transparency where you will know no evil except good. That nakedness that's talking about is, it only knew good. It never knew anything else other than good. That nakedness. Are you with me? And that's what God wants us to come into, a place of understanding of only knowing good. Amen. Amen. Before the fall, they only knew good. And so it is possible. I have tons of scriptures that can talk about how we cannot conceal our sins. God knows everything. I have tons of scriptures that says there's going to be an exposure one day of everything. But coming into the light, coming into that transparency, is coming before God and not covering yourself and saying, God, this is me. I blew it. I blew it. You're looking at one person who's possibly one of the most sinful men you can find on earth. Paul does not know what he was talking about when he said, I was chief among sinners. And yet, in that, what covering that I was hiding behind was this stupid Asian thing, save face, reputation, fear of man. All of this held me back and I was behind this. And God says, you have to come out of your hiding. Because God has words of grace. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Sam? Where are you? I heard the sound and I hid myself. And today you're hearing the sound of God. And are you hiding or are you coming into the presence of God? Where are you? It's called positional theology. It's your position before God. And your relationship before God. Where are you, Sam? And that's a question I daily answer. And daily I fall short. Daily I've crossed the line. Daily I've missed the mark. And God, if I come out from my hiding into the light, I come back into, I only know good. Amen. Because in book of Hebrews it says, and their sins, hata pesa awon, will I remember no more. If God does not remember my sin anymore, what business do I have to remind Him when I have come into the light? Hello. This is that morning. It's time for you to come out from your hiding. It's time for you not to hide behind that covering. It's time to come into that new place of transparency. Because that energizes you to truly become intoxicated in the extravagant love of God and dance any which way you want. There is a song that comes from your heart. There is a rhythm in your mind that goes with the heartbeat of God to say, this is my child in whom I'm well pleased. And I go responding to that, because when you look at a little baby and you kiss on the baby and you say, I love you, the baby responds to that love. Amen. Amen. Is God good? 6 minutes. Very quickly. Say quickly, Sam. First step to intimacy with God is to come out of our hiding. There cannot be intimacy without nakedness. Come clean before God. Do not cover up. There cannot be intimacy with God without that transparency. There cannot be intimacy with God with a cover up. If you are struggling inside, like I was for 38 years, of wanting and longing for the presence of God, it's because I was hiding. It's because I had this fig leaf in front of me. It is because I was unwilling to confess my sin before God. Amen? Because I was unwilling. This morning, if you truly have something in your heart that is urging towards intimacy with God and a desire, apart from the intellectual understanding like I was wanting of intimacy with God, is to come out from our hiding. Amen? You can talk to Pastor Craig later and ask him, what does it mean to come out? During my dark days, he is one of the pastors who helped me walk through. Come out. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? When God moves in the church, people hide, people are offended, or people are thronging, or longing, or want to linger, or lingering in the presence of God. Because when the flame of God is upon each one, when you come together, there is a blaze. A community of blaze that's passionately in love with God. Amen. In closing, this is that morning where I believe God is personally coming to you, because maybe your quiet time has been affected. Maybe it has gone into a place of monotony. Maybe your dialogues with God are landing on only one broken record theme. Maybe you're not enjoying God. This is that morning where we can respond to God and say, God, I'm coming out of my hiding. I'm not asking, God does not want to humiliate us in the presence of a lot of people to say, okay, here's the mic, confess your sins. That's not what I'm talking about. Some churches do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a decision. A decision that you and I need to make this morning. And this is the way I feel like I forgot the protocol of the church. Yeah, Craig calls me a friend, but he never invites me to his house. So I don't know the protocol. But I tell you what, this morning, this is how I feel. I have two more minutes left. After this, I would like the worship team come. You know, Caitlin sang such an anointed, we'll sing that great name of God. In that, let us be washed and blotted out. But for now, for those of you who want to reconnect with God, I want you to come on up here and I want to pray. Not that I have any power, but if you want that intimacy and come out of your hiding, just come on up here. Nobody's going to judge your thing. It's not about personal reputation. It's about your desire. You come on up here, and I want to pray for you. Quickly, you don't even have to think about it, actually. If that's the kind of desire, you need to run up. But those of you who are not ready, it's very respectful. I respect that you stay where you are. And that's fine, totally fine. You come on up and say, God, I want to reconnect. I want to come out from my hiding. No matter how ashamed I am of my past, you just come on up. Actually, why don't you come and sing? And when they finish singing, I'm going to ask the pastor of the house, the anointing, the shepherd of the house, to come and close us out.